Thank you. Okay. You see in here, where's Dennis? Dennis! He's in the bathroom. Of all times. Is Ray here? Ray's not here. Okay. Now, Shelly's name should be in here. Shelly Davidson. Do you know Amy Davidson? Amy, wave at Shelly. She's your sister. Yeah. Yeah, birthday's the same day. You're from the same family. You have the same bloodline. It's true, right? Bloodline of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ, new bloodline. Your sisters! It's your birthday. Why isn't your name in there? You need to give Nancy your name. Yeah, you see Nancy. Give her your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Happy birthday. Amen. They are. Yeah. Welcome to the Sunrise service. Capital S-O-N. Sunrise. He's rising in this place with healing in his wings. In case you thought you've never been to a sunrise service, hey, this is a sunrise service. Right? Isn't that right? Wow. Praise God. Man, we are so blessed, aren't we? Happy birthday, Dennis. Did you hear me talking about you in the bathroom? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Wow. We are really blessed, are we not? Are we? Amen. Amen. This is a day that we should understand what today represents and live every day based upon what Jesus did to give us this day. That makes sense? Yeah. Some say Easter. Some say Resurrection Day. It's a day that we remember Jesus rising from the dead. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for what's in your heart to do the remainder of our time together. Thank you for dwelling in us. Thank you for changing us. Thank you for enlightening the eyes of our heart today that we would see what we've never seen before. We bless you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to celebrate communion today. Last couple of times I tried, it didn't work. It's going to work today. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. You're probably wondering, how could you try it and it not work? Yeah. Never mind. It's okay. It's okay. Wow. How many of you would have liked to have been alive when Jesus was alive? How many of you would have liked to have seen him, touched him, embraced him? How many of you would like to have seen him be raised from the dead? How would you like to have seen him when he stood before the disciples with you standing there and he rose back up into heaven and they physically watched him as he gave them his last minute instructions? How many of you like to have been there? Guess what? You were. You're born again. This is the gospel, you see. The gospel is all about what Jesus did for you, what Jesus has accomplished for you, and he included you. He included you, and he included all other people for all time in everything that he did. And it becomes reality to us when we confess the name of Christ, when we place faith in him, faith, by the way, which he brings to you, When we hear the gospel, he brings the gospel with faith, enough faith for you to believe the words that are being spoken, and then you get the benefit of it. It becomes your experience, everything that he did. Wow. That makes the gospel really easy, you know? It makes us tell people with excitement, this is what Jesus has already done for you. You don't have to perform. He already performed. All you got to do is put faith in him. And if you hear me, if you're listening to me, then and you're realizing what I'm saying, it's because the Holy Spirit is drawing you. We don't save anybody. He saves everybody. It's the Spirit of God that does it. So we just need to learn this simple gospel about what Jesus has done. This gospel's gotten complicated, right? Through all the years, there's a lot of things got added on to. And he told the Corinthians, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, somehow somebody's messed you up to get you off of the simplicity of the gospel that is just in Jesus Christ. The gospel is just about Jesus and what he's done and who he is. And if we place faith in him, you get everything he's done. You get all that he is. You get a new life. It all comes in him. A whole package. This is a sunrise service. Jesus Christ is rising. He's rising in our hearts. He's rising in our minds. He's making himself clearer and clearer, more and more evident. To me, it's like getting harder for someone not to get saved. Because of the evidence that's coming forth from the Spirit of God. Whoa! So we may think that it would have been really cool to live at a time when we could have seen Jesus do all of that, but you were there. How does that happen? God's eternal. And because he's eternal, he sees all of time all at once. Time is a specific period in all of history. Eternity is forever. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end of everything. And God saw all of us together with every other person that has already been created, already lived, and has yet to be born. People that haven't even been born yet. You got anybody got a kid in the pot? Before that kid comes out of the chute? Okay. God already knew that child. He already knew that child before you ever thought of him. My wife's looking at me funny. She's shaking her head. I don't think she likes it when I say out of the chute. If your child has got to kind of feel like that, right? Like, wah! Not to mama, though. No. Yeah, no. Okay, back on track, little Tony. Back on track. Yeah. You think about what happened during those 3 days from the crucifixion to the time that Jesus became evidently alive to everyone around him. What happened? What did he do? What occurred? It's amazing how many believers don't understand, don't realize what Jesus accomplished. Remember when they went to the tomb and the stone was rolled back, and Peter says that John outran Peter, and John stopped just outside, and Peter ran in because he was so impulsive. He says, he's gone. Now you know what they did. You know what the Jewish people did when they buried someone, right? They took it really serious. They had an embalming process where they get like 100 pounds of aloe and myrrh and different spices, 100 pounds of that together with cloths, strips of cloth, and they would coat all the strips of cloth, and they would wrap every finger. They'd wrap the hand, they'd go up the arms and completely wrap it in this heavy cloth mixture until the entire body was completely encased in it, except for a little spot right there. And it would add like 100 pounds to the body. It had like about 100 pounds to a person's body. And the thing is, it didn't take very long, especially in that dry climate, that this thing just gets really hard, like cement. And they went in there. They went in there Resurrection Day and looked at it. And what did they see? It looked like a cocoon. It looked like a mummy cast. But there was nobody inside. And there's no way that a person could have gotten out of that unless somebody came along and they took a saw. They didn't have skill saws back then, but they'd have to have something pretty strong to cut that thing open and take the body out. There would have to be some evidence of breaking in to get the body out. But when they got there, there was nothing inside. He was gone. And Jesus even took the napkin that was put over his face, folded it up nice and neat, and set it there before he made that trip. Where did he go? Okay, when he went in, when he was put into there, his spirit came out. When you die, what happens to you? Your spirit comes out of this case, comes out of your body. Your spirit comes out and goes, for all of us, gonna go to heaven, gonna go to be with Jesus. Your spirit comes out, okay, but the body, the case, stays behind. Gets put in the ground or burned up or whatever. It doesn't matter because you're going to get a new one. How many of you would like to get a new one right now? Yeah. It's guaranteed. Jesus already purchased, it says in Ephesians, it's the purchase, pre-purchased possession. Jesus already purchased the new body for you. It's already your possession. It's already waiting to be given to you. And he makes it out of the dust of what's left here from your body. Pretty amazing. Pretty huge miracle, huh? Yeah, so what did Jesus do? He came out, his spirit came out. His body was still encased, okay? His spirit came out. He went down into hell. And he confronted the forces of hell. He confronted the demons. Jesus had to pay for the price of sin. Jesus had to meet justice's demand. There was a demand of justice from a holy God who cannot have sin, cannot operate in the presence of sin. It had to be judged. And it had to be judged by a spotless lamb. You know that Israel would they would have sacrifices where they take a spotless lamb and sacrifices, let the blood spill, and their sins would be covered for a short period of time. But Jesus was the eternal spotless lamb, and he did it, Scripture says, one time for all. It did not ever needed to be repeated again. When Jesus shed his blood, it was one time for everyone, for all mankind. All mankind. It says in 1 John chapter 2, I'm just going to quote you some scriptures, okay? Because I want to get through this. We'll put some of them up in case he can do it. 1 John chapter 2 verse 2 says that Jesus was the propitiation. It's a big word. What does that mean? It means the complete satisfaction of a holy God's wrath against sin. Jesus became the complete payment, the complete satisfaction of everything God the Father needed in order to have his holiness met and completed. Jesus became that. For who? For you, for everybody. It says not only for you, but for everyone in the world, for the whole world. That means every person ever created. He did it all at once. He saw everyone. They were all included when he died. Their spirit, old nature spirit, died. Okay, even lost people. Jesus already did it for them. So what happened? Why are they still messed up? Because they need to place their faith in Jesus Christ. And the moment they do that, the Spirit of God gives them the benefit of, gives them the experience of everything that Jesus paid for. It happens at that moment. But Jesus has already done it all. He included all people for all time in everything that he did. When he went to the cross, he carried our sins. He carried everyone's sins for all time. That's what a gospel we've got. We can tell people, I've got such good news for you. I know you think your life is messed up. I know you think you got problems. I know you think you can't get fixed. Listen, Jesus took care of all of that for you. He forgave every sin, even the ones you haven't even done yet. And you can enter into that forgiveness. It's eternal. It's eternal. Even the things you haven't even done yet, you can enter into that forgiveness where God, who created you, has forgiven you. You can enter into that. It's all in Christ. And when you place your faith in him, in Christ, you become in him. He makes you a new creation, and you get all that forgiveness. Wow. Wow. Well, we kind of, you know, we had another issue too, you know, that Satan was really had authority because of Adam and Eve. He had authority over people's lives. He was able to wield death and wield sickness whenever he wanted to. And he that needed to be dealt with. And it needed to be stopped. And Jesus was the sacrificial lamb, the only one that could ever do that. And he did it for every one of us and every person that was ever born. And my God, what good news. What better news could you give someone? That everything that would ever hinder you, ever harm you, ever hurt you, Jesus has already dealt with it. A serious blow. Serious blow. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 says that he completely demolished, Jesus completely annihilated the devil and his works. When did it happen? When Jesus went down into hell at first, because none of the forces of hell understood the gospel. They didn't understand what all this was about. They didn't understand what Jesus was doing. It says in Corinthians they never would have crucified the Lord of glory if they had known what was going to happen. That his life was a seed planted, and that seed would bring forth a harvest of little Jesuses everywhere, all over the world. If they had known that, they never would have crucified him. They didn't know it. They were blinded. God on purpose blinded them so that we could get free, so that we could become children of God, so that we could get real life, so we could have abundance in every area of our life. God blinded them. So Jesus goes down there, and he's got to satisfy the demands of justice. And it took a period of time. We don't know. We don't know what he went through. Scripture doesn't tell us what he went through. But at first, I'm sure the devil thought, we got you. Oh, yeah, look at you. You're dead. We got you. You're defeated. And Jesus was, I'm sure he was just saying, waiting for that moment that he, Jesus, would become. See, he came as a man. He came as a human man. He didn't have any sin. But he came as a human man, no sin, so he could be our sacrifice. But he came as a human man so that he could pay the price for us. We're human. So he could pay the price for us. And when he did that, down there in hell, all of a sudden, I don't know at what point it was during that time he was down there, but this is what happened. He became, and we'll look at the scripture, he became the first fruit. He got the first resurrected body, the spiritual, eternal body, fit for eternity, fit for glory, fit to do amazing things. He got the first one. He was our prototype. He led the way for us. He was the first of many to get this new resurrected body. And it happened at some point down there in the pits of hell, in the bowels of hell, when the devils and demons are sneering and they're laughing and they think they got him. At some point when justice was met, when God's holiness was completely satisfied, when that moment hit, guess what? His body that he left inside the cocoon now became a resurrected body. This is all instantaneous. Became a resurrected body. Resurrected spiritual bodies can go through walls. They can go through a cocoon. They can go through anything. They're not stopped by anything natural. In that moment, that body became resurrected and joined him standing down here in hell. And he became the first resurrected, the first man to ever have a resurrected body. And all of hell is looking at it, and they saw that, and I'm sure the glory of God so radiated that the demons are going, whoa, 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 and the demons are crying out, ah! He's the King of Glory! Ah! I'm sure it had to be spectacular. What an event. What an event. Guess what? You were included. Your spirit was included in that event. Oh. Whoa. Yeah. We'll get to watch the real tape when we get to heaven. We'll get to watch the real recording. That's one of the things I want after I get there. I think I got all these things I want to ask. Can I see this? Could you play this one on the screen? Could you play this one? I want to see this. I got these things that I want to ask about, you know. That's one of them. I want to see that moment. See that moment when Jesus, you got the first resurrected body standing down there in hell. And they saw it. And they knew they're done. They're defeated. They don't stand a chance. And what did he do? He said, Satan, give me the keys. Keys represent authority. Give me the keys. He said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, this John, he was caught up into heaven. He says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if dead. He's standing, he saw Jesus in his right now glorified state. All the glory that is his, shining brightly. And John stood before him and saw it. He fell like a dead man. My God! God's glory is that intense. But Jesus laid his hand, laid his right hand on him and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the ever-living one. This is Revelation 1, 17 and 18. The ever-living one. I am living in eternity of the eternities. Are you trying to do that? Oh, yeah, you are. All right. I died, he said, but see, behold, I died, but behold. Did you picture that? Jesus radiating glory, fire just coming off of him. He says, I died, but behold. Thank you, ma'am. But behold, I am alive forevermore, and I possess the keys of death and Hades. What did he tell his disciples when he's there standing before him before he went back up? His last words. The keys are the authority. Okay? Adam gave it over to Satan. And all those years until Jesus completed his work, Satan had that authority, and he wielded over people, wielded death, encouraged sin, made a mess out of the world. But now, the keys had to be given to Jesus. And Jesus said, hey guys, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I got it all. All authority in heaven and earth. What else is there? Is there anyone anywhere else? All authority in heaven, in heavenly places, in earth, under the earth, all authority has been given to Jesus. So he said, here, guys, go. Understand the victory that I've won for you. You go bring my victory. I'm giving you the keys. I'm giving you the authority in my name. I'm giving it to you. Wow. What does the resurrection mean to you? No. He gave the keys to his disciples. Yeah. No. This is now, he's come back. He's getting ready to go back to heaven. He's standing there on the mount getting ready to visibly ascend right before their eyes, and he gave them the last word. What did he do to them? Besides broil them? he didn't really need to do anything because Once he got the new body, once he got the resurrected body and his glory came forth, they knew. Everyone knew. He didn't need to say another word. They knew he was the one true God. They knew that he now had an eternal body that is indestructible. Indestructible. And they knew that they lost. And that what the devil had stolen from them, Jesus got it back. He said, now I got the keys. For a long time you've lived with the devil having the keys. But now I've got the keys. The devil has zero authority. Zero authority. It bothers me when the church gives the devil some kind of recognition that he has nothing. He is like he's been detoothed. Okay, he can roar, I am I can't, yeah. I can't bite you. I'm going to tell you, baby. Okay. He's not, I mean, how much damage can a toothless person do? Huh? And he wants us to know that Jesus wants us to know he's detoothed him. He's detoothed him. The only thing that a devil or demons can do is to get us to believe a lie. Because we now have the authority back in God's camp. And if we believe a lie, then the devil can get away with doing stuff to us. But if we stand firm on the truth, he can do nothing. Yeah. Yeah. I tell you, I don't know how it is with you, but for me it was many, many years, very much a learning experience in that it's almost like the demons want to see, they watch me to see how long, they'll keep putting pressure on me to see how long I can go before I give up, before I stop believing, before I take my confidence off of the Lord who's my life and stress out over things. They watch to see our lives, to see maybe it's 3 days, maybe it's 2 weeks. And then you fall apart, and they watch that and they record that. They say, okay, you don't have to worry about this one because after 2.5 weeks, she fails every time. So we're just going to hang out for 2.5 weeks. She'll give up, and we got her. So I knew something. I knew that I needed to make a statement to the forces of hell. But I ain't never backing up. And you can keep tormenting me as long as you want, but you're never going to come to the place where I'm going to yield. And you know what? When the enemy starts seeing that reality in our life, they say, "Don't even bother with this one. You just might as well go because he's not giving up, because she's not giving up. She's never going to confess that she can't do it, she can't live it, she can't make it, because she knows her Creator. She knows who's alive within her. She knows that she's here to represent the kingdom of heaven. She knows who she is." And we all need to make that statement. And sometimes it takes a while in the beginning when we've had a life that's, you know, like this. Now, I know I'm not the only one that had a life like this. There's got to be other people sitting here looking at me right now that you have a life up and down, up and down. Sometimes you're really on top. Okay, you're fighting the good fight of faith. By the way, we fight the good fight of faith. We don't fight the good fight of boxing gloves. We fight the good fight of faith. That means we stay in faith. Right? Jesus did everything we needed to have him do. He completed it. He did it all. Look at. I'm telling you what the resurrection means. Okay, we could go on for hours and hours and never come to the end of the fullness of what the resurrection means for us. There's a couple things we want to go away with. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Are you with me, church? Yeah! Ruth is with me. Colossians 2:15 says, God disarmed the principalities and powers that were raged against us. He disarmed them. and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him, in Christ, and in it, the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a pretty strong statement, right? Okay. We have no reason to doubt that that's not reality for us. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and out of the dominion or authority of darkness. You get this? The Father has delivered, has already delivered and drawn us to himself and out of the control and out of the dominion or authority of darkness. He's already done it. And has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. You got transferred. Before you were born again, you were in the kingdom of darkness. Did you know that? I didn't know. Darkness means you can't see anything. I couldn't see it. I didn't know I was in darkness. I just thought that people were always supposed to be nasty and rude and not nice. I thought that I was always supposed to get mad at somebody who does me wrong. I thought I was always supposed to get in people's faces. I thought I was always supposed to worry when we have problems in our life. I didn't know. I was in darkness. I didn't know. But we have been delivered out of the dominion, the realm, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of the Son of Jesus Christ. We have already been delivered. The moment you got born again, God took your spirit. New spirit in Christ. That's your home. That's what you operate out of. It's never that again. We're living a lie if we act like we're not saved, if we act like we don't have the goods, if we act like we don't have the life that Jesus paid for us to have. We're living a lie. That's stupid. I want to tell you, it takes a little while, okay? It takes a little while of on purpose living like you're truly born again, living like you have the life of Almighty God inside of you, and you're a new creation, and you're ambassador representing the King of Kings. It takes a little while. You gotta on purpose do it when you're not feeling it. When you're not, it doesn't look like this is who you really are, because you got all this history that's all dead history, gone to the cross, been crucified, but you got it all still in your head. It takes a little while to overrule that and step into who you really are now, walking in victory and power and in the anointing of the Holy Ghost and speaking of sickness and disease and problems and commanding them to get out of your way. It takes a little while to do that. The effect, if you're doing it in faith, even when you don't feel at all like it's real for you, if you're doing it in faith, the Spirit of God will produce the results of what Jesus Christ paid for you to have. He paid for you to be free. Free of everything that would hinder you. Everything. The hindrance all comes from the dark side. That's right. It all comes from the Darth Vader side. You know, the Obi-Wan Kenobi. We have the Force. Oh, you have the Force. You have the greatest force there is. You have already been unchained from the bondage of sin. Jesus unchained you from all the bondage of sin. To hear someone say, I just can't get past this. It's a lie that you can't get past it. On purpose, start acting like the truth instead of acting like what's no longer the truth for you. And people say, okay, now you're telling me to act, right? You want me to become an actor? I said, no. No, I don't want you to become an actor. You were an actor before. Now I want you to live like who you really are. That's the way it works. But I just can't do this God stuff. Well, that's who you really are. So start doing what you really are. And then it won't be very long. You're like, what the heck was I doing before? That's stupid. Yeah, you have been unchained, unshackled, and delivered from the power of sin. Do you know that? You have been delivered. Jesus delivered you. He completely defeated sin. He put it aside. He left it in the tomb, and he came out alive, unshackled, totally free. And that's the Jesus living in you. And he made your spirit to be the same. You are one in the Spirit. You're one in the Holy Ghost. You're one. Wow. All the shame, all the guilt, all the condemnation. How many years after you got born again did you get these thoughts in your head about how, you know, all the bad things you used to do? Yeah. Maybe you still get some. Okay? All of that shame, condemnation, and guilt, it's all been put away. God doesn't see it anymore. He does not see it. Jesus totally, completely set you free from all of that. That's the resurrection. That's the power of the resurrection. It ended. It ended the old race. Yeah. Woo! What? That's right. Only believe. Just believe. Just believe. Now, let's be honest, okay? We should always be honest. Let's just be honest. But. In the beginning, okay, and when you were a young Christian, okay, somebody said you should just believe. You thought, well, what the heck? How do you do that? How do I just believe? I got all these things going on in my life, and all these situations going on in my life. All these things that it looks bad. All these things that look like Jesus never did anything. Oh, you know, I got sickness in my body, problems in my family, problems everywhere around me. It doesn't look like it. How do I just believe? My answer is, how did you get saved? Are you born again? How did you get saved? You just believed the gospel. You believed what he said is true. Okay, well, let's keep going on that same vein. He wrote to the Galatians in chapter 3, and he says, who's bewitched you guys? He's talking to Christians, believers filling churches. Who's bewitched you to think that in the beginning you got saved by the power of the Holy Spirit, set you free, made you a brand new creation, and now you think that you begin to go through your Christian life by things you got to do? Who bewitched you? Who put that spell on you? We live the Christian life the same way we came into it, totally trusting that his word is true and the Spirit of God will perform that word within us. Sometimes we got to stand, yeah. Sometimes we got to stand and stand and stand and stand. And we're putting the demons of hell on notice. I'm not going to stop standing. I want my name. I want this. Years ago, I declared this, okay? My name's going to be written on the board in hell of the people that will not give up. The people will not turn back. The people that will not deny their faith. The people that will not say, I can't do it. I want to go on that list. So that when they decide that they're going to come after me, they're going to realize we better try somebody else. Because it'll never work with this one. Let's begin establishing that, okay? It needs to be established. And we're the only ones. Each of us can only establish that for ourselves. We need to stay in faith, believing no matter what you feel, Jesus has done everything you need. He's completely annihilated the devil, completely finished his works, okay? He doesn't need to do anything else. He included you in everything that he did. When he defeated the devil, you were right there. You were right there with Jesus when the devil was completely defeated. You were right there when he rose from the dead. You rose with him unto a new life. He made a brand new body for you. He got his first. But he made one for you. Seated at the right hand of the Father, you're seated at the right hand of the Father. You know, it's not wrong. It's not wrong to picture something that's biblical. It's not wrong to focus on and dwell on and think about and dream about something that is biblical. Okay, people say it's New Age when you begin to picture things. And it's, no, it's not. Not when you picture the truth of the Word of God. You picture that all day long. You dream about that all night long. It's the truth.
Let that truth grip you. Let it occupy your heart. Let it dwell richly within your heart until you just walk that way. Jesus has done it all. There's nothing else he needs to do.
He got a victory. It's a total, complete victory. Total, complete victory. Wow. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:14. 1 Corinthians. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15:14 says, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain. It amounts to nothing. And your faith is devoid of truth and is fruitless, without any effect, empty, imaginary, and unfounded." If Christ is not risen, you'd still be in your sins. But he's risen. But he's risen. Yes, I am. Yeah, when you got extra words there. He's in the Amplified. Look at verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15:20. But the fact is, okay, I like this. But the fact is, okay, all right, guys, listen. The fact is that Christ, the Messiah, has been raised from the dead, and he became the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep in death. For since it was through a man that death came into the world, it is also through a man, capital M, that the resurrection of the dead has come. Wow. He's the first fruit. He's our prototype. Look at, let's jump over here and look at this. It's a good day for this. First Thessalonians chapter 4. When I first became a Christian, man, I camped out on these verses. Because I had this guy that I was working with. He kept saying, "Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for the rapture?" I said, "What the heck's the rapture? Are you ready for the rapture?" So what's that? He says, "Go read it." Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. What'd I say? Thank you. 1 Thessalonians. Yeah. Let's just read this, okay? 13 through 18. We're not going to camp on it. I just want to read it. I just want to release these words into the atmosphere. "Now also, we would not have you ignorant, brethren, about those who fall asleep." Let me talk to you a minute about fall asleep. Why does he say fall asleep? Why doesn't he say die? Okay, when you go to bed at night, you fall asleep, right? But what happens in the morning? You get up, okay? He wants us to know, he's talking about your physical bodies. When your physical body dies, you as a spirit person will never die. You are eternal. Your spirit right now is holy and pure and anointed and got all the goods. Just the way it is right now, it's going to be for all of eternity. You are alive on the inside. You are alive. You are filled with Jesus Christ. You got the goods, man. You just got it, okay? He's talking here about your body falling asleep. Why? He says asleep because he wants you to know it's temporary. Because that body that gets put laid down, whether it's burned, put in ashes, put in the ground to rot, decay, it don't matter because the day's going to come. Well, let's keep reading. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will also bring with him through Jesus those who have fallen asleep in death. Bring with him. When he comes back, when Jesus comes back, I better just read this. I'm just so excited about this. For this we declare to you by the Lord's own word that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall in no way precede into his presence or have any advantage at all over those who have previously fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a loud cry of summons, with the shout of an archangel, and with the blast of a trumpet of God. God's saying with a loud blast, a loud summons, the archangel blowing. Can you picture that?
I mean, so loud that all over the world they could hear this. Everyone, the Lord comes. Woo! He descends, okay, as he begins to descend. All those that have gone on before us, wherever their body parts are, he's going to give them now the resurrected body. That's going to happen moments before us who are still here. Okay, they all get the resurrected bodies. They're put together in a nanosecond. This is in the twinkling of an eye. They can, body, new resurrected body comes. They're coming down, and the new body joins them in the air. They're with Jesus, and they're like, yes! Okay, then as soon as that happens, and we who are still down here, we get changed. Where the heck was that? Okay. And with the blast of the trumpet of God, and those who have departed this life in Christ will rise first. Then we, the living ones who remain on the earth, shall simultaneously be caught up along with the resurrected dead, that's dead bodies, now resurrected bodies, okay, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so always, through the eternity of the eternities, we shall be with the Lord. I love this next verse. Therefore, comfort and encourage one another with these words. Whoa. Whoa. Okay. So I think, amen, 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 amen. The resurrection gives me assurance that I'm going to see all my departed family members, every one of them. I'm going to see them, and they're going to be just a tad bit happier than I am. I'm going to be really happy, but they're going to be a tad bit happier because they've already been in glory for a while. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Where the heck? Okay, all right. Back to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. But someone will say, "How can the dead be raised? With what kind of body will they come forth?" But someone will say, "Have you ever said that? What will it be like? You know, what kind of body will they come forth?" Verse 36 says, "You foolish man! Every time you plant seed, you sow something that does not come to life, germinating, springing up, and growing, unless it dies first." Now, have you ever seen when you plant a seed of something, have you ever seen when the plant comes up that the plant looks like the seed? Does it grow up just to be a big old seed? You pictured that, didn't you? You pictured that. You pictured this big seed coming up. No, it's different, but it came from that seed. Your body, when it goes, is going to be just the seed. And from the seed, he's going to give you a brand new glorified body fit for all of eternity. It comes from that seed. People say, "Hey, well, what about when we take the ashes out, we scatter them all over the water?" It don't matter. We're talking God here, okay? Get out of your human thinking. Okay, humanly, there's no way we could put that. But we're not on the human level here. We're talking God. We're talking God. Okay, verse 37. Nor is the seed you sow than the body which it is going to have later, but it is a naked kernel, perhaps of wheat or some of the rest of the grains. But God gives to it the body that he plans and sees fit. Into each kind of seed, a body of its own. We're not going to be like robots. We're all going to be individuals with a brand new spirit body that's eternal. And we're going to recognize each other. Just like I recognize your seed right now. I recognize all of you.
I'm going to recognize you on the other side in your glorified body. So it is, verse 42, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable and decays, but the body that is resurrected is imperishable, immune to decay, immortal, will last forever, cannot be destroyed, cannot be hurt, cannot be damaged in any way, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, able to go through walls, just able to do anything. Nothing will ever be impossible for you in your new body again. You can think yourself, okay, how many times have you thought about, man, I'd like to get transported. Man, I'd like to get transported over to Africa on one of those trips. Okay, well, in your glorified spiritual body, you can think it. And you'll be there. Does that sound good? Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor and humility. It is raised in honor and glory. Your old body is sown into the ground in dishonor and humility. It is raised in honor and glory. It is sown in infirmity and weaknesses. Now, how many of you would agree? You know, it's like years before it's actually sown, I still got it. Weaknesses and infirmities. Okay, but he's saying your body is going to be sown into the ground with weaknesses and infirmity. It is resurrected in strength and endued with power. Totally different. Brand new. Just like your spirit person is a brand new creation, looking just like Jesus, eternal in every respect, so your body is going to be also. Wow. It is sown a natural physical body, is raised a supernatural, a spiritual body. As surely as there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Wow. Verse 49, and just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so shall we, and so let us also bear the image of the man, capital M, of heaven. Amazing. Isn't it amazing? There's this question, these questions that are asked by everybody. Maybe they just think them and they never verbalize them. But every single person ever created is at some time going to ask the question, who am I? Who am I? What is the purpose for my life? And what's going to happen after I die? Every single person ever created is going to ask themselves that question. Some may never ask anybody else what the answer might be. Some may never verbalize it. But in the heart of every single person, the question is always going to be asked, who am I? What's my identity? Who am I really? Why am I alive? What's the purpose for my living? What's your purpose? God's purpose for you is that you will know him. You will have a relationship with him, and that you will bring his kingdom, his life, his love everywhere you go. That's where you'll find your purpose. That's where you'll find your identity. That you will know him, have intimacy with him, have communion with him, fellowship with him, talk to him, and then walk with him and bring him everywhere you go to a lost and hurting world. As you do that, as you recognize that it's the same Jesus living inside of you, and it's not dependent upon you having your act together. It's not dependent upon you knowing enough. It's not dependent upon how much scripture you know. It's dependent upon, are you trusting him? You placed your trust in him for life in the beginning, for salvation. Are you trusting him right now to release that life through you? And he will do it in ways that is way beyond how much you know or how much skill you have or giftings or any of that. And that's, you begin to sense that your life has meaning, your life has purpose, when you first understand the truth. I mean, I am so blasted excited about going to Zambia this week. I'm just so excited. It's just amazing. Why? Because I've discovered what I'm here for. I've discovered that the thing that fulfills me and satisfies me is bringing his life to hurting people, bringing his kingdom to people who've never seen the gospel of the kingdom before, never even heard of it. And to go to the ends of the earth, okay? Well, there's a lot of years. I worked in my Jerusalem. I worked in my Judea. I worked in my Samaria, all over, as much as I could, everywhere. But I still do it, okay? But to me now, my fulfillment's at the ends of the earth. I didn't just jump to the ends of the earth. I didn't just start out like, I'm going to go to the ends of the earth. No, there's a lot of years in my Jerusalem. The people next to me, people around me. And I began to realize, man, this is what I was created for. What happens when I die? You were made for eternity. You were created to be eternal. You were created to be a temporal person who's only going to last a set number of set number of years. You could add the hours up, I guess. I don't know. On this earth. No, you're created to be eternal, to last forever, to live forever. You were created to rule and reign with Jesus when the new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven. Literally comes down out of heaven. Can you picture it? The new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven, and Jesus himself is sitting on the throne in the new Jerusalem on earth. You're going to get to rule and reign with Jesus. He says to some, one city, two cities, 10 cities, you're going to get to rule and reign with them. We're determining that right now. Yeah. Hallelujah. So I get this all the time. People say, is it really possible for people to change? I believe, this is my personality now. I have an addictive personality. How many of you believe that lie? I have an addictive personality, and I just there's things that I'm addicted to, and I that's just the way I am. God didn't make you that way. God, in your spirit, the only addiction is to Jesus Christ. In your spirit, the only addiction is to be with him and love him and experience him and encounter him and release him. That's the addiction in your spirit, okay? Anything else that's on the outside, it's subject to change. And Jesus has already paid for you to be free and for others to be free. And I have people tell me that, like can people really change? There's only, yes, they can change. One way. By letting the power of the Holy Ghost inside of you transform you. Let him lead you. Let him speak to you. Let him direct you. Let him change you. Let him change your heart about all the things that have been fixed from years past by wrong thinking. Let him change your heart. He will change. Now, I know I'm not the only one in this room. How many of you... who you are right now, the way you look at people, the way you look at life, is radically different than it was when you were not saved. Radically, I'm talking radically different, right? Okay, you are living proof. You are living evidence of the transforming power of the Holy Ghost living within you. The thing is, we kind of set a limit, and we think, well, okay, I guess that's about where I'm going to go. No. No, take the top off. Take the top off where you think this is as far as I can go, or maybe this is the most I can experience. Take that blasted top off and let his life flood through you. Let it. You got somebody standing in front of you. They got an issue. They got a problem. And, you're listening to them say it. And in your head's telling you there's nothing you can do for them. Liar. That's a liar. There's something you can do for everyone because you have the life of Jesus Christ in you. It may start out with nothing more than, can I just pray for you? And you just take their hand and you just hold their hand. Your hands are warm. Ooh, yeah. Yeah, you want to feel something hot? Right there. You just take their hand and and allow the Spirit of God to flow through you. You're going to see something happen. You're going to begin to see more and more happen. You give them a hug, you're going to begin to see something happen, more and more happen. And then you're going to begin to get boldness to open your mouth more and more. And release some life out of it for that person. It's who you are. It's what you were created to do. You're free. You're free. Anything that is hindering you is not legal. It's not legal. Okay, the resurrection, look at what the resurrection, Ephesians chapter 1, I love this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 I'm going to read, and then I'm going to wrap up because we're going to do communion, okay? Ephesians 1, verse 19 and 20 says, "And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable," what does immeasurable mean? There's no cap on it, okay? There's no cap on it. There's no limit to it. "So that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness." Wow. Let's memorize this one. "And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power," watch, "in and for us who believe. As demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." Are you tasting? Are you tasting of the power of the age to come right now? It's Christ in you. Here's the mystery. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here's the mystery, unfolded, unveiled. The mystery is Christ is living in you. The hope of glory. You are glory's hope. The resurrection provides you with abundant, powerful life right now. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the same Spirit, the Spirit of resurrection, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit's dwelling within you. The same. You can experience his abundant, extraordinary life right now. He says, for those who believe. Are we believers? Okay, then it's for us right now. The next crisis you come into, the next situation you have that looks like impossible, say, "Hey, I have overcoming power inside of me. Oh, every ounce of death coming out of that thing that wants to get on me to get me discouraged. Okay, death's been defeated. You have no hold. You have no right anywhere near me. I'm releasing life. I'm just becoming a fountain. Okay, get somebody near me because I'm spraying." Oh, yeah. That's the truth. I love to watch the expressions on people's faces as the spray starts. Last two verses, okay? In case there's someone that snuck in here. John chapter 14. Now, if you're explaining the gospel to somebody, you know, these are important verses. Gospel, John chapter 14. Verse 19, Jesus said, "Just a little while now, and the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me, because I live. You will live also." It's a song like that, isn't it? "Because you live, I will see tomorrow." What's the words, melody? "Because of you, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, you live." Now look at this one, John chapter 11. Go back a couple pages. Verse 25, John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26 says, Jesus said to Martha, "I am myself the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in," Amplified says, "whoever adheres to, trusts in, and relies on me, although he may die, yet he shall live. Although his body may die, yet he shall live. Although your body may die, yet you, the real you, the spirit woman, she's going to live. And she's going to live eternally. Yet though your body may die, you're going to live. Look at the next. And whoever continues to live and believes in, has faith in, relies on me, shall never actually, I like that, actually, shall never actually die at all. And then he says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Here comes the testimony.
March 12, 2012. I was walking, I was struck down by a truck, and I died. What do I do with that? Oh. Okay. So I was walking across the street to get my mail, and a big truck came and hit me, and I died. An angel of the Lord carried me 120 feet through the air, and the eyewitness of the man who hit me came to my house and gave witness to this, what he saw. I can testify, absent from the body, present with the Lord. All of you who have already received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is written, you live in him and he lives in you. And everything he has accomplished, he has already accomplished for you. You have it all in full today. He could not die. He could not expire. He could not give up his last breath until he secured everything that Pastor Tony is talking about today. He says, fear not, fear not. I think someone said 365 times it's recorded, fear not. You have nothing to fear, nothing. You have already crossed over from death into life. Every single human being God created, past, present, future, he created to live forever, and every human being shall. The question is, where will you live forever? Apart from your Christ or with him forever? And for all of you who had said yes to him, you have died already and you have crossed over into the eternal realm. God, Emmanuel with us, came. The Holy Spirit supernaturally added humanity to Christ's deity, that same Holy Spirit of love could add deity to our humanity. You can do everything Scripture says you can do in Christ by the power of Christ because he died and rose again. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You guys can sing it too. I'll sing the first verse and then we'll all sing it together as United Church.
Because he lives, I will see tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future. And my life is worth the living because I know